And this morning at a meeting with county sheriffs at the White House, President Trump was asked why he thinks the media are underreporting terrorist attacks, something he accused journalists of doing in a speech yesterday.
I happen to know how dishonest the media is. I happen to know that stories about me that should be good or bad, you know, I don't mind a bad story if it's true, but I don't like bad stories. Stories that should be a positive story, when they make them totally negative, I understand the total dishonesty of the media better than anybody.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins us now from New York. Hi, David.
Hey, Jeremy.
And first of all, take on that question of whether the media is underreporting terror attacks. The Trump administration provided a list to make its point. The list had a lot of spelling errors in it, but it also included attacks that were covered extensively, including the attack in San Bernardino and the one in Orlando.
And in Paris and in Nice, right, and in Brussels and in Istanbul and all over. We had colleagues sprinting to go there. We had colleagues based in some of those places. And we, you know, are joined by our competitors and colleagues at other news organizations that covered that fully. You know, this is it's an assertion without any grounding in fact. It just simply is. It may well be that the administration feels that somehow the media doesn't cover what folks do to combat terrorism sufficiently. But this is certainly not an argument to be made. It's worth noting two things also. It's worth noting that it doesn't include things like the attack by a white shooter in a church in South Carolina in which nine black people at church were killed. That was considered an act of domestic terrorism. It didn't include the attack on the mosque in Quebec City not so many days ago, which was an attack on people who are Muslim. So, you know, it's a very specific kind of terrorism that's being identified there. The one thing that it accomplishes, whether consciously or not, is that we're all talking now about terror and threats and attacks and saying, look, we covered these things, but the subject now is in the top of the headlines and the top of the news at a time when, of course, the Trump administration is defending an incredibly restrictive immigration ban that it says would keep people out of these seven predominantly Muslim countries as an effort to combat terrorism. So we're, in a sense, talking about the administration's deeply deceptive assertions, but about a subject that they're trying to use to justify a policy that's come under attack and challenge by federal judges in several courtrooms around the country.
Well, and when you put these attacks on the media in context and together with the attacks on a federal judge in Washington State from President Trump, Trump tweeting, just cannot believe a judge would put our country in such peril. If something happens, blame him and the court system, people pouring in bad. The Washington Post has a story today on whether Trump is setting up to blame both the media and the judiciary if there's another attack. What do you think about that?
He's certainly rhetorically laying the groundwork for that. Absolutely. And I think that's in keeping with the kind of rhetoric you've seen from Steve Bannon, the chief strategist and advisor to President Trump, who came, of course, as the guiding chairman of Breitbart News, which has argued, of course, that there need to be more significant restrictions on folks coming into this country because of terror concerns, but also that has had part of its DNA blaming the media and saying that it's undermining the nation's national security. So I do think that the idea that what Trump has done, in effect, is serves to undermine and to point blame at the media and at the courts and at those who either dissent from him or provide alternate source of information or reality, is a real concern. I think it absolutely is a concern in a democratic system that relies on checks and balances.
Well, and speaking of which, we spoke with constitutional scholar Alan Dershowitz yesterday, who said Trump's attacks on the judiciary are not yet a constitutional crisis. Here he is.
President saying things does not constitute a crisis, but a president refusing to obey an order of a court would constitute a crisis, and we're not seeing that, at least not yet.
David, we've seen presidents attack legal decisions they don't like before. We've seen certainly presidents attack the media before, but does this feel different to you?
It's just so early in the term to come out fighting against all these other players in the democratic system. That's what's different. If you think of Nixon, perhaps the classic thing. Clinton came to office, was bruised pretty quickly by the press, but his impeachment crisis didn't undermine the the distinctiveness of the press, although he fought with it. You know, there are those legal scholars, including Professor Dershowitz's Harvard Law colleague, Lawrence Tribe, who argues that Trump may be preparing himself for an impeachment exposure because that there may be some sort of constitutional crisis. But as Dershowitz said, it hasn't happened. There were some claims by lawyers that perhaps federal agencies or administration officials were trying to slow walk compliance with the court rulings in some of these decisions, as in the state in Washington. If that proved to be the case, you could see some real constitutional clashes there. What we're hearing is the rhetoric of combat and clash. We haven't heard the reality take place quite yet.
David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent. David, thanks.
You bet.